Good evening. How are y'all? Glad to hear it. That's about right. So I have a new routine in the mornings. I want to share it with you. You want to hear about it? Great. So before driving Uber and Lyft on Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays, I decided I'm going to wake up a little bit early, and I'm going to go to the gym, and I'm going to get some cardio, I'm going to get some strength training, I want to feel good about waking up early, get the blood pumping, be exhausted by noon. That's my new plan. And so I'm going to the Planet Fitness gym up in Somerville, right there by, you know, Somerville. And this is a very large gym. It's the purple, the color purple is literally everywhere inside that gym. It's a little annoying, but it's, I can deal with it. It's a whopping $5 a month, though, so I'm going to take out a loan to be able to pay for that membership. But there's one feature about the gym I do not like, and I want to share it with you. There is a television screen every 3 feet. And there are rows and rows of treadmills and elliptical and this gazelle-looking machine that you can be on and stair-steppers and more treadmills. And there are just televisions literally in front of every single place. There's not one place in an entire facility you can go where a TV is not right in front of your face. And so the options of what's available is you got CNN and Fox News, pretty standard. You've got ESPN blaring in the locker rooms because I really care about something that happened with some guy who got traded for somebody else. That's not my thing at all. But they're really, really talking about that in the locker room, and they're really upset about it, and so it's apparently very important to a lot of people. And then here are the two standards. You've got HGTV on all the treadmills, or you've got, I think it's E, whatever one has a Kardashian show, they're always on. And so here's my plan. I get on a treadmill, and I put it at an incline, and I'm walking at 3 miles an hour. I'm getting a good little kind of warm-up going. So I turn my TV off because I don't want to see anything. And if there's no one next to me on either side, turn theirs off too. So I'm good for the three screens that are right here in my face. And then I've got 15 here and 15 here and then three over there and one on the wall, and music's blaring. And there's just overload going on to where the headphones are required to be in that facility. And I was there on the treadmill, and I'm really starting to warm up now. It's almost time to go do some strength training. And I look over, and here's one of the Kardashians. They all look the same now. I don't know. There's so much surgery going on, I can't tell them apart anymore. So there's a Kardashian talking about something that's not important, obviously. And then over here, I see these two jokers, and they have a new show. And I can barely stand their old show because their faces kind of bother me as well. So I'm assaulted by all these people on television and their general faces. And so I don't know which one's which. One's got a beard to make sure you know he's the manly one, and one's not got a beard to show you he's the romantic one. And one used to have like frosted tips on his head so you could tell them apart, but not anymore. I don't know what's going on anymore. I haven't watched TV in years. Here's the point. Their new show, which you can see advertised behind me so conveniently, the title is Forever Home. And I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Really, I didn't watch the show that long. I couldn't do it. But the old show used to be kind of finding a home for people. You give them a couple of options, and it's kind of usually a starter home. Like, so we have a young family, you want a little bit more room than an apartment, and they'll give you some ridiculous options that you can't afford. But they're all in Canada, so apparently you can't afford them. And so that's the original show. This one seems to be, from the title and all that I could stand to watch, is he's trying to find a permanent home for you. So a place that you're going to move to and then apparently never move again. That's your house forever because it's forever home, right? That seems to be a pretty convenient way to call the show that. And that thought alone just kind of sparked a concept within me. Despite all the Kardashians and their faces and all the distractions that were there, I said, that is an interesting way to put it, a forever home. Because really what they mean is a home until I die, I suppose. And for the Christian, a forever home means something completely different than a home I'm going to live in for the rest of my physical life. And so let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 tonight. We're going to two passages, and that's going to be it. So it's going to be hopefully short, maybe a little bit sweet, despite that rough introduction. So Hebrews chapter 11. I referenced Abraham in this morning's sermon, talking about the idea of him being called to go out to a place he didn't really know where it was, and Sarah went with him, which was the big deal. Well, this passage has a little bit more nuance to it, more detail to it. I want to kind of uncover this, and if I'm reading it correctly, which I might be, it has a little bit of hint of something in it. So, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. So again, that's the act of faith. As God said, I want you to leave your comfort zone, your family, the place that you know very well, and go someplace that I will tell you where it is, and you will receive that place as an inheritance. But I'm not going to tell you exactly where. You don't know exactly where it is. And so he went. In verse 9, by faith he went to live in that land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So the patriarchal period, the blessing of calling Abraham, and then Isaac, and then Jacob and Israel, and all their descendants, that great blessing that was given to them. Verse 10, for, he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Now, the Hebrews author could just kind of being a bit poetic here and says he's looking for a forever home, one that was designed and built by God. That was the goal. Or it could be a bit more literal, possibly. I would imagine if I were in the sandals of Abraham and I was living with the place and I was given that great promise and God says he's going to direct me to the promised land that I would receive as an inheritance, the place of God, I think I might be looking for a legitimate city that God built for me. Not just a land, not just a place to be, and then eventually it becomes the place for your descendants, and not the big picture of, well, when I die, I'll go to that forever home with God. I think maybe he had the illusion that I'm looking for a city. God built it for me, and I'm being led there. And so I can imagine after years and decades of being in Canaan and not really having a city that lived up to that standard, maybe he would have been a little disappointed. So let's keep reading. By faith, Sarah received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised, even though she laughed, which is always entertaining. But still, God brought about the great thing through Sarah. Verse 12, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. So again, that's the great fulfillment of the promise. From these two older people, Abraham and Sarah, he became the father of many nations, which is a wonderful thing. Through him, we have the Israelites. Through him, we have King David. Through him, we have all the great Israelites of history. And we have the Messiah being born through both the supposed father, Joseph, and Mary, going back through this lineage. And then verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, which I would assume would be connected to the idea of verse 10 from the previous context, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and pilgrims, or strangers and exiles of the earth. For people who speak this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. So looking at this context in verse 13, it says that the promise was not fulfilled in their lifetime, which we know it wasn't. If you look at the end of Abraham's life, he had one son. He had one legitimate son. That was the promised son, Isaac. And then after he died, you have Isaac marrying his wife and having a child, and so on. But at the end of his life, he hadn't reached that homeland. And so I wonder if he felt some disappointment, because God called him to leave the Ur of Chaldees, leave Haran, go to the promised land that he would receive for an inheritance, and he never really got that physically. He got it spiritually, sure, but physically not so much. But he made it clear that they were looking for a very specific place. Verse 15, if they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, meaning where they left originally, they would have had opportunity to return. You can imagine the conversation. You're out there for decades with Sarah, and you guys are getting older and older and older, and you're still not in the promised land. You're not in that city who was built by God. And so you kind of waver and you doubt and you have questions. Is it even out here? Should we just go back to our family now? And apparently that thought never crossed their mind because they stayed where they were. Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. And therefore, because of that unwavering faith that God is going to give them that forever home, God is not ashamed to be called their God because he has prepared for them a city. And then in my mind, I just see dot, dot, dot. Well, Hebrews author, it would be great if you went into a little bit more detail. So there was a city who was designed and built by God for his people so he could be their God and they could be his children. Would you have some more detail about that, please? Well, unfortunately, Hebrews 11 is not talking about really heaven. It's talking about people who did something great through faith. But there is somebody else, inspired by the same Holy Spirit that authored these words. It's in the book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Now, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I think what I just said was a bit more helpful than these Canadian guys. But what do I know? Anyway, okay, Revelation 21, verse 1. John is in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God gave him a vision. And boy, is that vision a bit confusing, right? It's hard to decipher. It's a lot of information going on, but I can guarantee I know what the ending is like. So, Revelation 21, verse 1. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. So a new plane of existence, a new location in which to dwell. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I was driving downtown yesterday, and I had a couple in my car, and they were going to a wedding downtown towards the Battery. And as we were turning down South Battery, there was a couple getting photos taken when they were in their dresses. She's in the dress, rather. He's wearing a suit. We've been funnier the other way around. But anyway, and as we're passing, we looked at the bride and looked at the groom, and the bridesmaid, I guess, was talking to the bride. And everyone in the car said the same thing at the exact time. It was, she looks unhappy. That all of us said, she looks unhappy. At the same time, we're like, huh, that was weird. Hopefully she's just hot, or she's tired, or it's been a long day, or something. I'm sure it was that. But we're like, I hope that's it. I hope she's happy with this guy. And so when I see a bride adorned for her husband, I mean, obviously my mind goes to my bride. And that day, I mean, you can't ever forget it. It's just a moment when you see your special person who's all gussied up for you and the photographer, but for you, kind of, and you just feel special, right? Just for that moment that lasts as long as it needs to be etched into your brain. That's what John's trying to evoke with this thought. The Holy Spirit didn't say, well, just write this. He's saying, emote what you see, how you feel it. And it's this moment, I'd imagine, where John's like, that's it. That's what Abraham was looking for. That's the thing he lived his whole life and was searching for. He died in faith, saw him afar off. He wanted to be there. That's it. And I heard a loud voice from the throne. So we know who's talking here, saying, behold, the dwelling place of God, which those words in and of themselves is such a magnificent statement. The creator of everything has a place where he's going to live. It is with man. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. That's it. That's the forever home. We have been waiting for this home our entire lives, and we will be there with him for all eternity. That's our forever home. Why is it so good to be there? Verse 4, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, because the former things have passed away. It's a beautiful scene that John gets to reveal to us, to elaborate on what is the goal. Whatever form this takes, whatever it literally looks like or feels like or seems like, it doesn't really matter to me. To know that my God is there and he designed this place for us to be together forever, that's enough. That's our forever home. And so tonight, if you have a need to respond to the invitation, if you're unsure if this home is for you or if you have a place there, why not respond to the invitation of our Lord and come forward now as together we stand and we sing. When he